When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mom!
Hello, and welcome to the Sissy That Talk Show podcast. I'm Joseph Shepherd, and I have the absolute privilege and honor of having Monet Exchange here. We just Sissy That Talked on the YouTube show, and now we're about to do it in the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm so happy to be a part of your show. I love the talk show. It's catchy. People are going to like saying that.
Yeah,
talk show. It's very smart branding.
Show. What's the smartest branding you've ever done?
The smartest branding, again, I'm going to default to Patty. I don't know. Think about something. What are we doing? The smartest branding, I mean, I guess sponges, and that's good. And people swear that I did that intentionally. Like, I really made that beautiful, beautiful gown on the first episode.
It's
so gorgeous.
Met Gala.
Worthy. Hello. Yes. And because it was not, you know, I didn't use the best materials. Mm-hmm. It just fell apart on the entire, so there were just sponges everywhere. On Drag Race is filmed on two sound stages, one for the workroom, actually three, one for the workroom, one for the challenges, and one for the main stage. Mm-hmm. And there were just sponges everywhere in the workroom and everywhere on the main stage, under the stage, under RuPaul's wig, like sponges were just everywhere, you know?
Not under his wig.
So we'd find them and we would just all play with them all the time. It was very cute.
So you've been on Drag Race season 10,
God.
All-Stars 4, All-Stars 7. You did Super Secret Celebrity Drag Race. But you also have started going into the acting realm. You were in the Huluween special.
Mm-hmm.
You've done some voice work.
Yeah.
What is the difference between the two? Do you like the acting atmosphere? Do you want to get more into it?
You know, I really do. I've also did some stuff. I did Lovecraft Country on HBO, mm-hmm. and I've done some few acting bits, and I really enjoy acting. I like all facets of performing. I really do. And, you know, in opera, I took this class in undergrad called the singing actor. And so I never took formal acting classes, which I'm probably doing. But I really enjoy that. The Huluween drag extravaganza was so great. Doing it with Ginger, she's such a professional.
It looked like there was a budget.
A girl. A budget. Okay, what did Chad Michael say? Up, dude. We had a budget. They really invested. It was we shot on the set where they do Teen Wolf, and it was really dope. Like they really took care of us, and the writing was so great.
Yeah.
The music, I actually like singing it, and I love the song. So the Huluween Drag Extravaganza, hopefully we do more.
That'd be so
and
fun.
It happened because of the Ebony and Irony podcast I do with Lady Bunny.
Really?
Yeah, we were on that. We were doing our podcast, and you know, Bunny often bitches, and I chime in as well. And I went on this rant, like, you know, these big corporations and streaming services like Netflix and Hulu, they would never ever center drag queens. They just want to use us as props and just have us as wasteless pieces of garbage on their on whatever stupid production they're doing. So Hulu called and they were like, oh, really, bitch? We're going to put our money where our mouth is. And they made a entire special centered around drag. And I'm like, hats off to y'all. Like, thank y'all for doing that. Because a lot of queens, we've all been asked to, girl, can you come be in my music video? And you're in it for 0.10 seconds.
Yeah.
And you sit on set for 12 hours for that. And you're just like this thing that's just like nothing. So,
have you turned down music videos?
Absolutely.
From who?
You are so, Joseph Shepherd, you are just a little something, something, something. I'm not going to say artists, but it was myself and three other queens, and we were on an Australian tour, And this artist was like, hey, we want to fly you.
Madonna.
No, he didn't want to fly you. He's like, no. He's like, I'm doing this music video. Like, their people reached out. We're doing it, shooting it in LA, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. Are you based in LA? I was like, no, I'm actually not. I'm based in New York, but aside from that, I'm currently in Australia. He was like, well, what are you free on this day? I'm like, we are free, but I'm in Australia. He's like, okay, well, we can get you to LA. And I was like, okay, and well, like, what's the pay? And they were like, that is the pay, just getting you to LA. It's like, bitch, that's not the pay, but I'm coming to work for you, and you're like, you're just going to fly me? And probably not even first class. Yeah. I would have been in fucking
you
stewage.
You would have been right next to the bathroom in the very back.
No, I would have been under with all the little Pomeranians. I would have been me and the little dogs, just chilling under the plane. Like, no. So I have
Justin
on.
Bieber.
No, that's, do you think Justin Bieber would have some drag queens in the video?
He was supposed to. I know that was a drama.
He was?
Yeah, and he was trying to hire people for $150.
No.
Yes.
Imagine these multi-million dollar music videos, and they want to pay a drag queen $150 to come in, to sit down, do your makeup for 2 hours, stand in a corset and heels. Girl, no. No. So now when I see drag queens, like I know Gottmik and someone else was in the Unholy video with Sam Smith and
Violet Chopsticks.
Violet Chopsticks. So I know Violet is a cunt and a bitch. So I'm sure she got paid well to do that. Or they paid him more than $150, I would imagine. Or maybe she did it for a two-piece and a biscuit. I don't know. But well, knowing Violet, I don't see her doing it for not a good day's rate.
So Gottmik and Violet are like a duo. You have Trixie and Katya, who are a duo. Uh-huh. And then there's you and Bob.
Yeah.
I have a question. How do you separate yourself? Because I believe that there can be too much hanging out with somebody and too much doing gigs with one person.
Yeah.
How do you make sure that you are Monet Exchange and not Monet Exchange plus Bob?
You know, I mean, I think the fans ultimately do that and they do lump us together. Like, people constantly lumping Trixie and Katya together. Now Gottmik and Violet. And so I think that's going to happen regardless. And especially, unlike a lot of those other queens, Bob and I, we literally came up in New York together. Mm-hmm. We worked a lot together. Before Drag Race, we had an extensive history together. So naturally, people are going to do that. But I think we are both in our own lanes and our own thing. And we have fun doing our things solo-ly. Mm-hmm. Is that a word?
Yeah, solo-ly.
Solo-ly. We do our things by ourselves, and we come together to do the podcast and tour the podcast. So really, the things we do a lot together are literally podcast-related only. We don't. I mean, Bob, I'm in some of Bob's music. He's in some of mine. And we both do stand-up as well. And Bob, you know, so I there are some places where we do crossover where there is a nice intersection.
Yes.
That's very nice. But you're not going to stop the fans, especially people who watch Drag Race and their only point of reference for drag is Drag Race. Yeah. Is gonna happen. That's like when a new season happens, like, ooh, she's giving me like the new Aquaria, and as opposed to saying to having some other point of reference of what drag is like. So people are gonna do that, and it's fine. I don't get bothered by it. I think Bob is fucking great. Bob is stellar. Bob is really talented. So when you're saying, okay, hey, when you come to me, think you're being cunty, be like, hey, Bob, I'm like, you're not funny.
Yeah.
One, two, that just so tired. I probably heard that all night long already. And B, that's a compliment. He's very talented. So thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at it that way.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so All-Star 7. I do want to get into, there's been a lot of girls talk about things that happened that were not shown film-wise, and that they were edited in a certain way, and challenges were switched out and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you believe that the world saw what needed to be seen? Or do you believe that there was, like, some edits and stuff that made it? Because from a viewer's perspective, in my head, it did seem like Jinx was the front runner from the viewers, from the edit that I saw.
Yeah.
Was the edit that you guys had, basically when you guys were on set, was that any different?
You know, so, I mean, so, like, we can't, like, they can't craft something that they didn't film, right? So, I think the better question is, like, maybe did I think that, like, all the challenge wins were correct?
Yes.
And I think that I don't think was true. Like, I, for example, I think I definitely could have won the second girl group challenge, the one where we did the the 2000s thing. Yes, I think that like the way that they dole out the challenge wins, but again, but then you can argue, say that it's super subjective. Like maybe they thought my runway was not good and my verse wasn't good, but mm-hmm. I think the viewing public watching, everyone was like, that didn't seem right. That didn't make any sense. So I think when they give out the challenge win to certain people, you can't argue with that. But even by using their metrics, their rubric, the show said it was centered around stars. Whoever had the most stars, like that was what you're trying to get. So
yes.
Even at the end with the ADR at the end, when they added the thing of what was it? And judging by your final lip sync and the season, even by the metric of the season, I had the most stars. I didn't make up the rules for the stars. I didn't dish out the stars that way. Like, I literally had the most stars. So by that rubric, by that metric, I did the best in the season. Mm-hmm. So I just think that you can, like, one can argue about, like, how the challenge wins went. But
challenges were switched, though, right?
Challenges were, I mean, that's all alleged too. I don't know that for a fact. You know what? I was not in the producing room saying, "Here, we're gonna put this challenge here." You, after every season, you hear so much.
Yeah, there's so many rumors.
There's so many things, and like, not unless you were sitting in the room with us. We made that marquee come to life, and RuPaul sat there. We're like, "Bro, I have a question.
Let's ask.
Did you change the So it's always gonna be conjecture. There's no way to know. RuPaul. Andre Charles.
I made sure Jinx won so you wouldn't have to.
But that being said, and you know, but Jinx, again, like the other seven of us, Jinx was just in this competition like
to be
us.
In the competition, yeah.
She was not there like, "Hey, you guys, you should," like, that's not what Jinx did. Jinx was playing the competition just like the rest of us. So, people sending her stuff, I'm like, that's not her fault or her problem. Like, she wanted to win like the rest of us, you know? So I think, you know, you go on TV and you're left to the devices of what the powers that be make it to be. And you can be upset about, like, you can't, no one can say that you can't be mad about it. You can't be upset at the outcome. But you go on to reality TV to get reality TV'd. And that's what it is.
When you were reality TV'd on All Star 7, we did notice that there was a lot of positivity. There were no negative critiques.
Mm-hmm.
But Trinity has said that there were negative critiques. Do you wish that there would have been negative, or do you think that them painting everybody really in a positive light helped you guys?
With the winter season, towards the beginning of the season, they gave us a bit more negative critiques that weren't shown on camera, because they did say this from the beginning, like, "We want to make you this, the purpose of this is to celebrate you guys and to elevate you guys. So we don't want anyone to leave here feeling bad about themselves or their drag." Mm-hmm. So I think that's why they made a concerted effort to not, like, in a regular season, like, really come at the girls. Like, but, like, for example, like on season 10, episode 1, telling Dusty, "All right, we've seen the dots." When you know that that's literally her thing, and all her makeup looks always dots. Like, they weren't doing that. All Stars 4, episode 1, Monet, sponges again, you know, Monique. Like, they didn't do that, because they're like,
"Adore Delano, go home."
You know what I mean? Like, they didn't do that. So there were negative critiques, but by like episode 4, they really stuck to only the positive stuff. And so, and no, I don't think we, I mean, what I think it would have made, it would have made it a little spicier. Maybe it would have made a little more tension had we mm-hmm. had some more negative critiques between, maybe not amongst the girls, but like, well, actually it would be between the girls. Who am I kidding? Just drag queens. We're sensitive about our shit. But it would definitely made a little more maybe tension with us and the judges maybe, because at this point, like,
well,
a lot of these judges.
Raja was Michelle.
You know?
That.
Because these judges at this point, like, I've toured. Done two tours around Europe with Michelle.
I love that you say that word. Say that word again.
Tours.
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 I say tours.
Tours. Tours. Bitch, are you from the Midwest? Aren't you from Atlanta?
I'm from Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Well,
tours.
Yeah. Tours. I've done like two tours around the Europe with Michelle. I've done tours with Ross. Like, we have been, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We work together. So hearing like someone who you work with telling you, I'm like, "Well, girl, remember that that when we were in Oslo, when you know what I mean?" So it is a little different. And I think that would have made it a little spicier, but
yeah.
Yeah.
So Barbara Walters often asked her guest, if they were a tree, what tree would they be? But I'm going to ask you, if you were a sandwich, what sandwich would you be and why?
Okay, it's a sandwich.
What did I call it?
A sandwich.
I said a sandwich.
Sam?
Sand.
Okay.
I think it just, you know.
Yeah, Tennessee. Sometime,
yeah, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I was a sandwich, what sandwich would I be? I think, you know, I'm going to say something like corned beef, but not the sliced corned beef, right?
So not an Arby's sandwich.
Not an Arby's. I want to be, so a piece of, my bread would be Ezekiel bread. I love Ezekiel bread.
The Bible?
Yeah, there's Ezekiel bread. It's bread made from sprouted grains. No wheat. Okay. No barley. So it would be Ezekiel bread with some mayonnaise. Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Now I'm thinking about
everything
I'm saying.
See, now you're thinking everything you say.
You got me fucked up, Joseph Shepherd. I would have some spicy mustard.
Okay.
And I would have some corned beef, but the one in the can. My family is from the West Indies. I grew up on corned beef. The one in the can, you cook it on the fire. Mm-hmm. You put that on my sandwich with some bread, with some more bread on top, and I would eat it. That'll be my sandwich.
Okay, Subway, there you go. You have corned your beef. Integration right here. Do a corned beef sandwich.
The corned beef fried sandwich with Monet Exchange.
Yes.
Yeah, right? Why not?
Well, you were talking about traveling, and my question for you is, did you ever go to Iceland for winning that challenge?
I never. Oh, my God. So I won that challenge to go. I got a free trip to Iceland, but it was on WOW Airlines. I don't think it had any association with WOW World of Wonder.
Yeah.
It was just a separate airline called WOW, but the airline, the company, like, folded before I was able to redeem my trip. So I never got to go to Pink Iceland for my all-star trip. So Pink Iceland, if you end up seeing this, I still want to come. I mean, I'll probably have to pay my way there now by plane, but will I at least have a place to stay? Y'all gonna give a bit? I want to go to like that little Blue Lagoon thing.
Yes.
I want to do that. I think I won that for the makeover challenge.
Yeah.
I think.
Have you gotten all of your prizes? Or has there been other things that you haven't got that you really wanted?
I've gotten all the money. Uh-huh. I don't know about any like prizes like a trip or something that I won that I didn't get. Because All Stars 7 was only money, and All Stars 4 was a mixed bag. You got like $10,000 for winning. But also, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I loved when Sasha Velour got the year supply of hair products.
That's why her hair fell out. Sasha Velour had a full head of hair before she won that prize.
You were also recently on the Secret Celebrity Drag Race. You got to mentor
Loretta Devine.
Loretta Devine.
I was Loretta Devine's drag mother for all of one episode.
But she was there. Icon.
Well, you know, she came out and she was like, girl, they gonna know who I am. I can't do a good Loretta Devine. Her voice is so distinct.
Yes.
And so iconic. And I think when she came to do the show, she didn't realize how, because they had them celebrities working. They had them in like rehearsals, like in costume. Like they had them like working like a Dance with the Star situation. And like I met her on the first day in that little rehearsal y'all seen, and we met the second day. She's like, girl, I hope they send me home. I have gout in my left foot. I'm gonna just go home. And I think they were like, this lady wants to go home.
Yeah.
And they like let her be. She was working very hard. Bless her heart.
Poor baby.
Loretta Devine.
Did you enjoy that experience? Was it different, kind of like mentoring act, like, you know, celebrities and stuff?
Oh, Celebrity Drag Race was completely different from regular drag race. We were not, because, you know, we're not sequestered. Like, mm-hmm. we were just like normal people paid to be on set to work. You didn't take your phone or anything. Brooklyn, myself, and Jujubee had such a good time doing it. And Celebrity Drag Race was great. They paid us very well.
You guys came out in great outfits every single week.
They gave us, the budget was, again, they had a budget for us. They wanted us to look good and feel expensive and fierce too. So they gave us a really good budget to get great clothes and to get great wigs. And there were a lot of hours working, but, you know, that's what you sign up to when you do this stuff. And Celebrity Drag Race was great. I had a great experience doing Celebrity Drag Race.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, we're coming to the end of our little pod.
So long.
But I do want to give you the chance to tell everybody what you have coming down the pipeline. What's the promo for Monet?
I'm doing a lot of stand-up stuff.
Are you enjoying it?
I love stand-up. I love doing it so much. And so I haven't been much into clubs much anymore because I really do my own stand-up thing. And I did a tour this summer. Patty and I did 10 cities. And then we're doing some more in the winter in December and going into 2023 in January, February. So I'm going to be doing that.
Is that fully out of drag?
No, it's in drag. I like doing stand-up and drag.
Really?
I like, girl, when I am up in Geesh, I feel the fantasy.
Yes.
I feel, I look fucking good.
And your jokes become funnier.
My jokes are funnier. My fucking, I smell fucking good. Like, mm-hmm. I love doing stand-up and drag. And bitch, I'm a motherfucking woman. Why not?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So I do that in drag, and I have a lot of some opera stuff coming up. I'm singing with the Minnesota Opera.
Wow.
In February. Doing La Fille du Régiment, The Daughter of the Regiment. And I'm doing that. And then I'm doing some work with the San Francisco Symphony in December for their Christmas show.
Damn.
So I have some really fun stuff coming up.
That's a lot of fun stuff.
You know?
Ooh. Ooh, ooh.
Oh, and I also tour in Australia in May, which is like, I think they're like, there's maybe like a, like 98% of the tickets have sold. So if you're in Australia and you want to come,
get those last 2%.
Get the last 2%. Go. The tour is like practically sold out, but I think there are a few more. So go to MonetExchange.com and you'll see the link in there to get tickets for when the dates are.
Well, Monet, thank you so much for being here and chatting and having a great Sissy That Talk with me. Where can everybody find you on the socials?
I am Monet Exchange on everything except TikTok. So M-O-N-E-T, the letter X, word change. And on TikTok, I'm the Monet Exchange because I'm Shady Queen.
Shade.
Because I was late to the TikTok. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
I was late to TikTok.
Yeah.
So by the time I got there, girl, somebody done had my name doing doing all my shit. And I was like, and they were in drag too. I was like, this is shady.
This is not Mo. That's Moan Exchange.
Yes.
Well, thank you all so much for listening to the Sissy That Talk show podcast. And thanks again to my fabulous guest, Miss Monet Exchange. I'm Joseph Shepherd. And we want you to subscribe and make sure you don't miss an episode on your favorite podcast app. And if you haven't already, make sure to head on over to the YouTube and watch our little Sissy That Talk show and subscribe there. Until next time, I'm Joseph Shepherd, and that is Monet Exchange.
Sissy That Talk Show podcast is a Moguls of Media and Forever Dog production. Hosted by Joseph Shepherd. Produced by Big Dipper, Joe Cilio, and Mariah Nicholas. Engineered by Margot Padilla. And edited by Doug Robertson.